Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the EMG Health Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Jonathan Sakia. Today, I want to go on a bit of a rant. Anyone who knows me will tell you that the word pseudoscience makes my teeth itch. As doctors, we're trained to be cynical about any claim. Show me the data, we cry. We are, to some degree, inertia-bound. And that's a good thing. It stops us flip-flopping from one brilliant idea to the next. After all, people's lives are at stake. That men and women should seek to be well, to be healthier, is an evolutionary demand. It's literally in our genes. Physicians participate in the most inappropriately named industry, healthcare, because that's not what we do. We do disease care. And very little of our time as doctors is dedicated to wellness. Think about it. Frankly, if everyone was well, there'd be nothing for us to do. Well, wouldn't that be nice? But as we know, nature abhors a vacuum. And that space that we don't focus on, wellness, has been filled by an industry, the wellness industry. Let's put that into perspective. The global wellness industry is worth trillions of dollars and is larger than the global pharmaceutical industry. Wellness encompasses things like fitness equipment, gyms, nutritional supplements, meditation, yoga studios, workout clothes, sports shoes, as well as things like cosmetics, of course. Let me be very clear and precise. I am a huge fan of people taking control of their wellness to ensure they have a long lifespan as well as a long health span, the amount of time that they're free of disease, the ultimate disease-free interval, if you will. And the use of cosmetics to make someone feel better about themselves, to bolster their social confidence, nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about something else, something insidious and frankly evil. The pharmaceutical, medical device, and biotechnology sectors are very heavily regulated, the safety and efficacy of which are rigorously tested, and marketing claims are diligently policed with draconian punishments for those who take liberties. But there are large swathes of the wellness industry which rely on pseudoscience and do not have to do the sort of intellectual due diligence that more conventional therapies undergo. Let's look at some examples of this. A treadmill. It's obviously a way to exercise indoors. We know exercise is good for you. The folks making treadmills do have to meet certain standards to ensure their device will neither electrocute nor injure you. But they cannot state regular use reduces the incidence of myocardial infarction. But again, we know that exercise is good. People who make treadmills are not making undue or inappropriate claims. There are some therapies that live in the middle ground. We think there may be benefit, but it's not been absolutely proven. I'm thinking about things like acupuncture for various indications. Now look, if a therapy is addressing something that can't be treated with a more conventional means, well, that's one thing. But if it can, and this wellness therapy distracts people, that's where the danger is. That's what irritates me about this space. And what is it that defines it? Simple. That word, pseudoscience. It means literally false science, and it refers to the set of statements, assumptions, methods, beliefs, or practices that, without following a valid and recognized scientific method, are falsely presented as being scientific or evidence-based. There's a parallel to this, the science fiction movie genre, which I happen to love, where a few real words are mixed with sciencey sounding words. Think Star Trek. Captain Kirk, I need more dilithium crystals to hit warp speed. I'm an engineer, not a magician. You see, you use the word Captain Kirk, it's very real. Dilithium crystals, what are those? Warp speed, what's that? You say it often enough, it becomes fact. And again, let me be clear. I'm in favor of many things in the wellness space. What I object to is when a loophole is exploited and false science, pseudoscience, is deployed to suggest a benefit. You've all seen herbal teas that support prostate health or enhance dietary health, or a whole slew of marginal practices like crystal healing. What's the harm, I hear you say? It's simple. These approaches distract people from doing the right thing. They undermine science and create uncertainty. If I'm drinking herbal tea to enhance my prostate's health, I don't need to go and have my prostate checked with some regularity. And the COVID-19 pandemic has been a veritable festival for this kind of thinking. Us conventional doctors have publicly stated, we know this about the virus, or we think that about masks. If we don't have the answers to everything, we're honest. But the pseudoscience peddlers fill the space in between. They proclaim that you can prevent COVID, and by the way, these are real examples, you can prevent COVID by gargling with an over-the-counter mouthwash, or, heaven forbid, drinking cow urine. Yes, cow urine. And speaking of heaven, what of Jim Bakker, an American televangelist who previously, having served 8 years in prison for various counts of fraud, was back at it recently, promoting a product that he calls, or is called, Silver Solution or Silver Sol at $125 a bottle. According to the label, it contains, wait for it, drum roll, deionized water and nothing else. As P.T. Barnum purportedly said, there's a sucker born every minute. Well, in this case, FDA and the state sued Bakker and forced him to stop the practice. Not only is his practice crooked, but the pseudoscience and the waffle distracted people from what we know does work. Wear a mask, physical distancing, hand washing, staying healthy, staying alert, and so on. And by the way, getting vaccinated. Being at best misleading and at worst purposely deceitful has profound repercussions for public health. We live in an age of growing distrust in science. COVID-19 has only made this more indisputable, showing the real-world consequences that an anti-science agenda carries. The idea of improved wellness? Can't argue with it. Our instincts to survive. So anything which perpetuates that or makes the job a little easier and enjoyable, we welcome it with open arms and open mind. The wellness industry has evolved from a counterculture way of thinking, all seemingly benign. But let me tell you, when trillions of dollars are at stake, all bets are off. So how can you be cognizant that that's what you're looking at? Well, first of all, beware of any movement where there's a wellness guru at the helm. And check their bona fides. Mind you, that's not to say that there aren't a few medical doctors who've been seduced by the allure and imitated those Wild West snake oil salesmen. They've hitched their wagon to the social media rodeo and turfed up on TV to pitch unproven cures. I want you to imagine me doing a very overstated rolling of the eyes when I say cures. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Our profession is noble and should not be muddied in this manner. Companies posing their therapies as substitutes for traditional medicine, despite lacking or no scientific evidence and consciously uncoupling from science, is where the danger lies. Now look, not all wellness organizations are guilty of this. In fact, I would say the vast majority are not. Some promote products that are clinically proven and regulated, and bless them for it. Others do not make outlandish claims. Let's go back to my example of the treadmill. Be alert to such things and debunk pseudoscience when you see it for yourself, for your family, for your patients, for everyone you know. There are some common themes that suggest something may be bogus. First, it treats everything from baldness to cancer to diarrhea. Yeah, right. What do we know in science that will justify that? It's usually very expensive. Think about Mr. Bakker's $125 bottle of water. Now, look, let's be fair. Conventional medicine is not the cheapest. Third, is there any real science, peer-reviewed articles in legitimate journals? And I'm not talking about the Esperanto Journal of Lesser-Known Diseases. You'll also find that these cures, these wellness therapies, do not carry the imprimatur of any regulatory body. And the source of the, any data they carry is, you know, pretty sketchy at best. It'll be a picture of a guy in a white coat, usually with some gray hair, looking very, very sincere and holding up the product. Always important to ascertain if there's a conflict of interest. Now, of course, in conventional medicine, we've got very clearly defined guidelines on how to declare such conflicts. Look at the language. Is it overly emotional rather than scientific? And when scientific terms are used, do they make sense? And are there lots of exclamation marks? Testimonials alone are a red flag. If in addition to science, that's fine, but alone, not so much. You'll also note that these sort of cures claim exclusivity and excellent results in a very high percentage of users. Real medicine never does that. We know that. We know that no conventional thing works for everyone. You know, you can remove a colon cancer from two identical looking human beings. One will live for 10, 15, 20 years. The other will be dead within a year. Biology is highly variable. So why would something in this field be any different? Conspiracies are beloved by these characters. You'll see things like the American Medical Association has conspired to keep this hidden from you, or the pharmaceutical industry have tried to shut us up and shut us down. When you see that, you know that it's likely to be nonsense. It also seems that women are particularly targeted, possibly because they tend to be the guardians of their family's health, maybe because of a history of mistreatment, and maybe because classically, women have been left out of research or complain that doctors take their pain less seriously. Advertising has come under scrutiny in recent times. Images that suggest women are less than perfect, shamed into buying products and services that may actually do very little to help them. Well, they keep the almighty dollars flowing. I'm usually no fan of more government, more regulation. But I do think some regulation makes sense here. Maybe educating the public to support an industry that should self-regulate and look down on and impose sanctions on those whose practices are immoral. An example of this is Wellspoken, a European-based independent authority founded to regulate the content and credibility of the wellness industry. The wellness industry is, in my opinion, largely good. I wear special running shoes. I have a treadmill. I like doing things to look after my health, but I'm very, very skeptical about services and goods that I buy. And when wellness companies consciously uncouple from science, the industry can be an incredibly dangerous place with real world consequences. And the use of pseudoscience is a huge warning sign. Remember, back in the 1940s and 50s, big tobacco was selling people that more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Our profession was used to push cancer sticks. So I'd like you to think about it, and I'd like you to take action when you do see pseudoscience. Call people out on it and talk to your patients about it and talk to your families about it. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope my ranting has resonated to some degree, and that you'll please join me again next Friday for another episode of the EMG Health Podcast, where I'll be chatting with a new, fascinating guest. Until then, stay safe, stay well, stay curious. Bye for now.